Father, we desire to hear from you today. Hallelujah. We have great need of you. We have great desire for you. Take your word. Change our lives. Change the very core and the direction. That's what your word does. Accomplish your word here today, Lord. Accomplish your word here today, Lord. And for that, we give you thanks in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for the songs. It seems like a lot is, well, and they already knew what I was going to do this morning, or partial anyway. Thank you for tying into that. Even our praise, "In Him We Live and Move and Have Our Being," is a perfect song. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Cause me to walk in your word today. Hallelujah to you, Lamb. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. There's none like you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew again. We're going to continue our series of the Lord's Prayer. Now, the series we're talking about is not actually the Lord's Prayer, but it's based on the Lord's Prayer. We're talking about how to get our prayers answered, how to stand strong in the answers even when we don't have them, right? To determine in our mind that when Jesus said this is the way you should pray, that He wasn't saying this is the way He should pray for you. This is the way we should pray for the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. Amen? The purpose of prayer is not how much I can get, but it's what can I do for you, God? The very purpose of prayer is to stop the enemy from stealing from God. Please understand, until we can say, "I'm not important, it's all about you, God," we are nowhere. You're absolutely nowhere. To stop the enemy from stealing from God, the enemy from stealing from God, from killing God's influence in the earth, and to stop Satan's lies and their destructive influence on the earth. The way that we pray is to stop our disobedience, not somebody else's disobedience. Amen? It's to build a church, a bride that is strong, healthy, and pure for Jesus. The reason we learn to pray is so that we can rule and reign with God for God. Not with God, but with God for God. And to be the bride that Jesus desires. Now, the title of my message this morning is a little strange, but I want to change your concept of the Lord's Prayer. Not for permanent, just for the moment, for effect. The title of the message is The Hallowed Inn. The Hallowed Inn. The Hallowed Inn is your name. We sang this morning that I live and move and have my being in your name. So I'm telling you, let's check in. It's a great hotel, a luxurious resort. It's called Hallowed. The Lord is doing mighty things right now. And there's many Christians that need to grow up. I pray for me, and you pray for me, that I don't get too tired. But I am sick and tired of Christians that are not willing to sacrifice anything in the name of the Lord. I'm absolutely sick and tired of it. I want to take out a sword and chop up people. Because they don't care about what the Lord thinks or what He feels. They don't care about His agenda. They don't care about His will. They care about their opinion of His agenda and the will. They'll die defending how they believe, but they will never die defending how God believes. It's just asking too much. And yet the very definition of Christianity is, will you take up your cross and die for me as I did for you? That's the definition of Christianity. I praise God right now for a president that spits in the eye of the devil. Now I mean that graphically and colorfully. He spits in the eye of the enemy. I praise God He's not some mamby-pamby like before who calls himself a Christian, but he's just a wet diaper. You don't like the way I talk? Get over it. Pray for me. Because I'm praying for me. I want to talk the way God wants me to talk. I pray to God that there are people out there that are willing to send their husbands and brothers and sons to go to war. That's what this is. You know, it's war. Didn't start today. Didn't start yesterday. It started when they crucified your Lord. That's when it started. Pacifists are going to go to hell because it can't stop with an opinion. It continues to hell. You'll not find a pacifist Jesus in your Bible. You'll not find one. He's not in there. What would Jesus do? This is what He's doing. You don't have to ask Him anymore. He's called this nation to stand for Him. He's called this nation to stand with Israel. He's called this nation to defend His Word. Right after 9/11, I preached to you a word that said, it's our God against their God. And we're going to win. Well, you don't win without a fight. Nobody ever wins anything without a fight. There's no victory in being a pacifist. Ever. And I pray to God that He has pity on the people that are standing up and saying, let everybody go to hell. We want to be comfortable. There's only thing one thing worse than a hippie, and that's an old hippie. Now, I'm going to touch this a little more later. But we're going to war. Unless the man of Satan flees, we're going to go to war. And I will graphically state my opinion. I hope if my son's involved, he brings me the ears of the enemy. I'll gladly wear them. As David held up the head of Goliath for a week and walked around saying, I'm proud of what God did through me. I pray to God He uses the soldiers to do the same thing. The enemy's the enemy. He is worth dying. Our Lord is our Lord, and He's worth dying for. Amen? Now, in case you didn't know, if you have any other opinion, I would keep you quiet right now because I'm a little hostile. I will arm with you. I pray to God it doesn't stop here. I heard on the news this morning, a non-Christian newsman, he said, we are now setting the standards of the world. He said, we're doing it right now. We're no longer saying, you can do what you want and we're going to go along with it because peace. We're telling the entire world that if you don't go by the normal rules of mankind, we're coming after you. And a Christian is the head of that. And Jesus is the head of that man. So we see God's attitude right now. Islam spits in the face of God. Muslims say, Islamic belief says that we will not be satisfied until Israel is destroyed. Now, are you hearing me? These things are not going to just go away, these statements. If you think that, you've had your head in a hole. They've grown tremendously over the years under the leadership of pacifists. It's time to stomp. And it's time to give praise to the Lord. And if you don't think God doesn't know how to war, you better start reading your Old Testament again. When He goes to war, He destroys everything in His path. He doesn't leave animals or children living. Speaking of the enemy, it said in Psalms, it says, blessed are those that dash babies against stones. God wrote that, dealing with the enemy. In other words, don't leave 1 ounce of anything left standing. Clean house. Or there'll be some bacteria come. I'll talk a little more later about what happened on March the 3rd, in case you haven't put that together. My son is part of a dark unit, a secret unit, secret operational unit. Therefore, he cannot be telling, and it could not be told if we knew where he is. But the fact that he's called means we're going to war. He wasn't called with a week or a month's notice. He was called with a minute's notice. Just enough time to say bye to his boys. Praise God. My steps were ordered. We didn't go on a vacation. My steps were ordered. God said it's time to go. He had a purpose behind it. Amen? Just understand that. My steps are ordered. If you don't believe it, start saying it until you do believe it. My steps are ordered. They're not ordered by me. They're ordered by God. And then quit saying it that they're not about other people. If you don't like the way my steps are ordered, you tend to your own steps. You quit trying to tell me my steps are not ordered. You just tend to your own ordered steps. Amen? My son's steps are ordered. The president's steps are ordered. And whether you understand this or not, Saddam Hussein's steps are ordered. Don't walk with him, because you're not going to like where they take him. It's a time of trouble. It's a time of worry. At least that's what they would have us believe. But I was praying on the 3rd, this is the direction that I got. Hallowed be thy name. No matter what other name comes up, hallowed be thy name. I want to make two simple points to you today. And if you receive them, you will live not where you are, but somewhere else. We have instructions from Jesus Christ Himself. Everybody believe that Jesus knew how to pray? Okay, then we need to listen about how He said to pray. I'm not going to go through the long details. I got long points. Matthew 6, verse 9. This is the only scripture that it's not the only scripture, but this is my scripture for today. Matthew 6, 9. After this manner, Jesus said, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's right after Jesus said, you want your prayers answered? Pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Don't read any further. That's all we're going to get into today. 2 points. Number one, let's start with the last one, name. You know this, so I'm going to be quick about it. The Bible gives us, I just picked out several. It's just completely full of exalting God. But in Nehemiah 9, verse 5, it says, stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. For those that are listening, that means all-encompassing. There's no beginning and there's no ending. There's no top, there's no bottom, there's no side to side. It means all-encompassing. You are to stand up and praise your Lord. Because everything that you touch, feel, and go through, God is all-encompassing. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. Did you get that? It doesn't make any difference how good a praiser you think you are. Do better, because His name is higher and better and bigger. It's above all blessing and praise. Psalms 8:1 says, O Lord our God, the majesty and glory of your name fills all the earth and overflows the heavens. Just the majesty of His name. Well, you know, I want you to understand something this morning. We're not talking about a pretty name that's so pretty that it fills all of heaven and earth. It actually fills the earth and the heavens with something tangible, full of evidence and real. No goosebumps involved. Facts. Reality. Ephesians 1, verse 19 through 23. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? Towards us who believe? Believe what? That His name fills heaven and earth, controls heaven and earth, encompasses heaven and earth. According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him in His right hand in the heavenly places. Listen carefully. Far above all principality, far above all power and might and dominion, far above every name that can be named. What was your problem? What was your worry? Are you exalting that above the name that's far above? Then you're worshiping an idol. Every name that is named, and not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So we're not just talking about today. We're talking about as many today as it can come. It's already established. You understand about steps being ordered? Verse 22, and He put all things under His feet. I submit to you that that's a wrong word. It should say, and He put all things under His name and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. Now, are you the church? So you have a name that applies to everything that comes against you if you're part of the church. The church doesn't mean a membership. The church means the bride of Christ, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Philippians 2, verse 9. Therefore God also has highly exalted Him, and according to the Scripture, us through His name. Do you believe that you're exalted above every name through His name? That's what that Scripture says. God has done this to Jesus, His bride, His body. He's given dominion over every name that came about. I want to be cautious here, but it's not just tied up in the name of Jesus. It's tied up in hallowed be His name. And if you believe that, we know the Scripture says that that power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also change, raise you, will take care of you, will provide for you, protect you. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and us through His name and given Him the name which is above every name and us a name that's above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, at the name of Hallowed. Every knee should bow. By the way, every includes yours. That doesn't mean you're going to stand up and strut while everything else falls. That means everything will bow as you have just bowed. And if you don't bow, nothing's going to bow. You understand that? If you don't bow to the Hallowed name, nothing that you speak the name over will bow. Because it's not bowing to you, it's bowing to the Hallowed name. In that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and those on the earth, and those under the earth. What else is left? No snakes, no scorpions, no extraterrestrial beings, nothing on this earth can take your room at the Hallowed Inn. The Hallowed Inn. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want to remind you of something, and we need to keep this in mind. We've strutted Jesus so much, we nearly eliminated God. And that does not please Jesus, and neither does it please the Father. We better understand that Jesus is the will of the Father. Jesus was exalted because He exalted the Father. You want to be exalted, you better exalt Jesus and the Father. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I will submit to you at this moment that if we don't win once in a while, there is no glory to God the Father. So you better expect to win. And if you're not winning, it's because you're doing something wrong, because God, Jesus, wants glory. You understand that? He wants to do things that bring Him glory. And all we got to do is bow and get out of the way. We check in and we stay in. We check in our room and we stay there, and God gets glory. We try to buy the hotel and we lose. Once again, Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm going to tell you what God's name is. And I'm going to tell you something point blank, and don't throw rocks at me. There is no Jesus name without God. There is no God name without Jesus. I think we're fools for dividing them and separating them and trying to use one over the other. Jesus said, pray like this, Father, hallowed be thy name. You're never going to insult Jesus by exalting God the Father. But you may insult God the Father by only exalting Jesus. Now it got quiet. You notice that? How that it kind of... They're one. But in your mind, since we have a finite mind, you better remember that when you're talking about Jesus, you're talking about God. And when you're talking about God, you're talking about Jesus. Okay. I'm going to show you, and you know this, but I'm going to go over it anyway. Here's what the name of God is and means. Jehovah Yahweh. Now listen. I am who I am. Now, that's even a misinterpretation, because if you go deep in the Word, there's no I am after I. There's no am after I. Because that denotes a time frame. Am is present. And God says, I'm before present and I'm after present. So in the real true Word, it says, God said, I. So Jehovah Yahweh means I. I was, I am, I will be. It also means I will be who I will be. I found that interesting. That it also means I will be who I will be. What does that mean? I'm not allowing you to vote on the matter. If I want a war, I will war. Come on, do you guys serve a God that can do anything He wants to according to you? According to you, can He do anything He wants to? You're giving me the wrong answer. According to you, can He do anything He wants to? I'm telling you, you've got to say yes. You've got to say no matter what I think, no matter what I feel, no matter what I've read, no matter what I haven't read, God can do anything He wants to do. Now, you and I know He can't do that because He wrote a contract with us, so He's going to do what His contract says He can do. Now, let me go one step further. How many think that He needs you to be an interpreter of the contract? So I'm going to lead you back to the first statement. God can be whoever He wants to be without our vote. If you have not been confronted with that,
then I'll tell you again, you have not read your Old Testament enough. Because there are things in the Old Testament that will challenge your belief in God. You will say to yourself quietly, that can't be God. That's really not your voice. That's the voice of the enemy trying to convince you. You must say, Jehovah, Yahweh. He will be who He will be without voices, votes, or approval. He will come when He comes. He will not come according to somebody's eschatology or somebody's war or the lack thereof. He'll come when He desires to come. Actually, that's not even His contract. His contract says that He'll come whenever we desire Him to come. Whenever we're really willing to put out the work to draw Him back, He'll come. It'll have nothing to do with Israel. It'll have nothing to do with a clock or a calendar. It'll have to do with His bride, and are they cleaned up enough for Him to come back? And that is just as honest as I can be about the Word of God. That's what it says. Many of you challenge me and don't believe what I say. And the more you study, the more you find out that God informed me of some things a number of years ago that changed my life, and now they need to change you. Stop thinking about when God's going to come. It won't make Him come. Start changing your life. That'll make Him come. Amen. It's that simple. Jehovah Jireh. Now, we like to put in our English language tense all the time. The guy that wrote this, did the research, said, the Lord will provide. He didn't know his English. Because the English is it just means provider. Yesterday, today, forever. Jehovah Yahweh. Now, why are you bringing this up? Hallowed be your name. We're trying to find out, number one, what His name is to the earth and us. And number two, how do we check in? This is provision. Hallowed be His name is provision. When we went to Kentucky to go to the first part of the reason we were there, the company we went with checked us into a nice resort on a beautiful lake. Forest with we wouldn't call them mountains here, but they would. It's a gorgeous place on the just stone's throw from the Tennessee River, and it backed up into a beautiful lake. And it really was pretty because it rained a lot. I hadn't seen rain. You guys don't know what rain is in Colorado. It rained a lot, and I enjoyed walking in it and dodging it and breathing it. I want to check in to the beauty of God that makes that look like hell. You know? That's what I want to talk about this morning. That's what I want you to get. I want to check in to the I God. I want to check in to the I trust God enough to be right on every decision. Do you? Do you trust God that He's right in everything He does? I want to check into that hotel. And I want to stay there while everybody else is waving their signs and waving their opinions and especially towards me and others. I'm just going to check into that hotel and I'm going to stay there. You can sit outside the door and you can protest all you want to, but I'm in Hallowed. I want to be checked in where there's provision. Jehovah Jireh. I want to check in where it says Jehovah Nissa. His name means the Lord is my banner, or truthfully, as you and I can understand, God is my victory. For those of you that don't understand about He is my banner, you have to go back to the Scripture, and what He's saying, that verbiage is, He is the victory. The banner is, I've won. But you didn't win without Him, so truthfully, let's don't miss the step. He is my victory. Now I wave His banner. That's the Hallowed Inn I want to be in. I want to stay there. Doesn't make any difference what things look like. He is the victory. Past, present, and future, according to the Scripture that we read. I want to be checked into the Hallowed Inn where it says, Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace, even in the battle. You hear me? The Lord is my peace. Doesn't make any difference where I believe or I don't believe. I'm against or I'm for. I'm hurt or I'm not hurt. I'm worried or I'm not worried. If I check into the Hallowed Inn, He is my peace. And you can understand why a man of God said, Lord, help my faith. That means put me in the inn. I'm having a hard time getting there. Help me. I want to check in to Jehovah Shammah. You know what Jehovah Shammah means? The Lord is always there. Or God is everywhere.
God is everywhere. Didn't we just read the scripture that said He filled the heavens, He filled the earth, everything below the earth? It spills over with Him. God is everywhere. If I check into the hallowed be His name in, then I'm in the center of His will and He's everywhere. If I decide to worry and fight, I've checked out and He's not there because He doesn't worry. See, you need to understand, God never worries and He never fears. So where does that put us when we enter into worry and fear? At a different hotel. We checked into the wrong place. We checked into the fallowed inn that has not been turned. Not the hallowed inn. I want to check into Jehovah Shabbat. Nice little seminary terminology is the Lord of hosts. Not good enough. The Lord of hosts is not good enough. Here's what it means. God surrounds all of my enemies. Now we understand. The Lord of hosts. Maybe I understood that in King James, but now I need a better, stronger meaning. The meaning is, God surrounds all of my enemies. Now, is that a good hotel? Is that a good inn to be checked into, that God surrounds all of my enemies? Hallowed be His name. Jehovah, Elohi, Israel, the Lord God of Israel, the strength of Israel, the mighty one of Israel. That's not a country. That's a people. That's not a country. That's a people. Good place to be. Because then I can say, I believe my God can whip your God. I've checked into that hotel, by the way. I stated it publicly a while ago, and I've done it before. I'm checked into the Hallowed Inn. My God is bigger than yours. I'm staying there. If you don't believe it, then you can turn to Him and say, God, show them how many of us there are. Now, He can do that by visual effect, or He can do it by what we call kick and tail. He can just defeat them. Boom! Used to live in South Texas. No such thing as owning a whole house without cockroaches in South Texas. You can bring the population down, but you can never eliminate it. But you know what is a thrill of a lifetime? Is when one of them goes across, you go, and you smile. Because one less enemy and one less producer of enemies. Do you understand the attitude of God is that He wants us to stomp, hear them squish the enemy? And He goes, that's my boy. That's my girl. That's the way I wanted them to do it. I wanted them, as they did it, to say, in Jesus' name. Y'all don't like the hostile part of me, do you? I never know how to face an enemy without hostility. The enemy, the Bible told you that the enemy's out to kill, steal, and destroy. And it was referring to you. If you think that's a pleasant thought, you need some help. If you think that I'm going to meet a thief and a murderer with a smile on my face and my fingers held up yelling, peace, you, there's something wrong with you. And there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with you. I mentioned to Nay yesterday about, I hope he brings me back their ears. She said, must be a guy thing. Connie said, I don't know if it's a guy thing or not. If I have the opportunity, I'll shoot them twice. Please, in the name of a God that will defend you, defend Him, defend for Him. I want to be in a residence of Jehovah Tsidkenu. That is the Lord and King of our righteousness. Now, number one, you must have to understand that God could speak of you of being righteous. And then when He gives you the righteousness that's beyond you, you must say, here it is, God and Lord and King. Why? Because your flesh will misuse, will glorify you. You'll look at another person and say, I'm righteous, with pride in your voice. It's all right to say I'm righteous. But the danger is if He's not Lord and King of it, you will be unrighteous in being righteous. So He's the one that does all this providing and protecting and defeating of the enemy and makes you look righteous. His job is to make you look righteous. And then when people begin to understand that you are set apart, you are to say, hallowed be His name. It's straight from Him. What you see is from Him. And He rules and reigns in that. We got to be in that hotel too, you know. That we're on our knees proclaiming His glory and not how good we are.
El, our Elohim. This is the one. This is the one that makes all the others work. Elohim. The one supreme being who is the only true God. Who is the true God? The one that you see in the Bible exactly how He's described. Not the one you want Him to be. One of the things I found out in the church that I grew up in is that everybody wanted Jesus to be the God that held the babies, growling at the enemy, saying, "Dangerous if you touch one of my little ones." They didn't hear dangerous. They heard, "Oh, He wants to protect the little ones." How can you protect the little one if you don't manifest the danger once in a while? Would you have a faith in a God that threatened and never did anything? Well, I wouldn't either. And the world is looking to us right now. They're wanting to know if we are truly men and women of God, we will do what we threaten. And then we can say we're only doing what God wants us to do. And He will win. I loved it the other day when our president said, "Well, they can voluntarily disarm, or we will disarm them." That's a man. That's a man. Do you believe he's going to do it?
Yeah.
See, the world's having a hard time believing him because they don't really believe God. Why? Because of what we've represented. Because what we've represented. You remember what I told you? I'm going to say it until I die. There is no relationship ever in the world unless there's a little bit of fear involved. You have nothing intimate. You have no ties unless you're afraid of losing the tie. The problem with charismatic New Testament teaching is that they will tell you that God is now your God because you have promised Jesus that you would try to be good, and no weapon formed against you can ever take that position away. And that's a lie from hell. You will always have the ability to go to hell, and God will not take it away from you, or He would be a liar. The proof of the liar would be, one proof would be Judas. Judas went to hell, called by Jesus Christ, and I guarantee you, by our standards, saved, filled, and everything else you like to use. And he went to hell because he betrayed. Well, all he did was take a little money. See, that's why you're not the judge. It's God, and God will be who He will be. And He'll get mad when He decides to get mad, and He'll be glad when He's glad, and He won't ask us any part of it. And I'm checked into that hotel, too. I also revealed to you, and I know it to be a fact, that what's A yesterday is F today. That means God is growing us from glory to glory. You may have gotten by with a few little lies a couple of years ago, and today you can't get by with one. That's the God will be who He will be. He may have allowed Saddam Hussein to get by with a few things 12 years ago, and He's not going to let him to get by with it today. Because God will be who He will be. Are you checked into that hotel? Is rigor mortis already set in? The last move of God, you're through. He won't do anything different. He won't change His mind because, Lord, I got that. The Scripture says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, look at your Bible. It'll teach you that He changes all the time. He doesn't change His commandments, but He changes how He works them out. Come on. Can you live the same way you did the first day you were saved? Why? The rules didn't change. Why is it different in your life? Because God changed the working out of that in you. He didn't change. His goal was to get you with Him forever. But He knew He couldn't pass judgment the first day because you would not have aligned with God's Word any way, shape, form, or fashion the first day. That's called grace and mercy. But you know who I serve? I serve a God that never gives up. He always wins. Never gives up, and He always wins. That's the first thing I told my children when they had children. Never lose. Never, ever lose with your children. Never lose. Never give in. If you say you will pick that up, if it takes you 2 weeks, you make that kid pick that up. Don't let it take 2 weeks unless there's some bloodshed already. They thought I was a little crazy when I said that, just like you did. But they're learning now. They're learning. Every day goes by, they're learning. Now let's go into the hotel. Hallowed is Your name. We know that the word Hallowed is used in reference to the Trinity. It means God, it means Jesus, it means the Holy Spirit. It means that they are pure, they are holy, they are righteous. They're more than righteous, they are always right. We are always wrong, they are always right. If there's ever an argument, if there's ever a question, if there's ever a worry, you're wrong, they're right. That is the hardest thing for our flesh to say. You don't even want to say it with me now. Not one amen out of that. Not one amen out of that. Because our flesh doesn't want to do that. If there's ever a question about God, I'm wrong, He's right. If there's ever a question about how He did it or why He did it, He's wrong, I'm wrong, He's right. See, the Freudian slip wants me to go the wrong way. It's the hardest thing to fight our flesh in that area. He's the only one worthy of praise, and He is worthy of praise, and we're wrong if we're not entering into praise. But what we fail to reside in on a continual day-to-day basis is what this name does to us and for us. The name is not a pretty title. It's an action. It's a person. It's provision. It's protection. It's everything that fills the earth for His people. I want to tell you the definitions of Hallowed, Old Testament and New. I'm not going to give you a bunch of numbers. You get those on your own. I'm going to tell you the definitions. If we reside, check in, live in His name, this is what His name will do to us and for us, remembering this is all about Him, not about us. Just because something is done for us does not mean it's done about us. You understand that? When I married my wife, it wasn't all about her. You got that? About as simple as I can be, it wasn't all about her. I might have made her think that, but I deceived her if that's what she thought. God did not save us because it's all about us. He saved us because it's all about Him. He'll heal us because it's about Him. He'll provide and protect because it's about Him. Don't get the big head. You know why there's not a lot of miracles flowing today? It's because our hot sizes are huge. We'll lay hands on people and they'll recover, and the first thing we'll say is, I wonder if I can do that again. Let me try it again. You didn't do it in the first place. You had nothing to do with it. No more than this Kleenex was a hero when I blew my nose in it. It just accomplished a job. Am I trying to put people down? Absolutely not. You cannot read and you cannot have intimate times with God and be put down. But what you can do is be put in your place. Remember what I told you in Philippians? It said we have a highly exalted place in Him. Our position in Him is highly exalted. It is not lowly. It's not lowly. But without Him, it's hell. So that's our two choices. Here we go. One of the definitions. I've got about 10 or 12, whatever. Clean, pure. One of the things that God will not participate in is you saying, Hallowed be Your name. I want to be the same. Clean and pure is an action. So His name is taking an action. When we say, Hallowed be Your name, it is cleaning and purifying not only us, but our situation and people around us. And that's why it's there. And I promise you, and I promise every person that's in this place and beyond, it will require change in you. The name of God causes change. And I know you want it to always be in other people, but it's primarily in you. Everybody in here has to say that. Me included. Everybody in here. I need to stop praying that other people change, and I need to say, Hallowed be Your name, knowing that I'll be doing most of the changing. It means dedicated. Living and trusting in Him, in His name, causes us to be dedicated to things that are contrary to our flesh. Before BC always means we're dedicated to our flesh. Hallowed be Thy name means we're dedicated to His will. In spite of our flesh, we have a dedicated desire for Him and His ways. And why do we pray, Hallowed be His name? Because that's an action that begins to cause you to have your flesh irritate you and the will of God pacify you, give you peace that passes all understanding. It means to sanctify. Hallowed be Your name means to sanctify. That means He cleanses and sets us apart and sanctifies us to His cause of righteousness. Do you understand God doesn't clean us up to want us to be clean? Where do we get this idea that it's about us? That God cleanses us so that we can be clean. Well, we get that because all we ever point to is heaven. Listen, you don't worry about heaven. You worry about today, and heaven's a cinch. You don't have to worry about heaven. There's nothing you can do today to make it to heaven. How do you like that one for a weird thing to say? Nothing you can do today to make it to heaven. You only make it through today. Everything you do today is based on today. Let tomorrow take care of itself. That means you do what God tells you to do today. You won't worry about tomorrow. So let's not worry about the day after tomorrow, which that's preaching to me more than y'all. I shouldn't be worried about the future. I should be worried about where I spend tonight. I used to be on the road. One of the concerns is, where do I sleep tonight? Right? Well, on our path, on our travel with Jesus Christ, we better understand that we better be checked into the Hallowed Inn before tonight. Our reservation is confirmed. That's why we in the morning say, Hallowed be thy name. I'm checking in. But I ain't checking out. I'll be here tonight too. You make up the bed. This is where I'm residing. This is where I'm eating. This is where I'm drinking. This is where I'm fellowshipping in the Hallowed Inn. Prepares. Hallowed means preparation. He goes before us. He leads our steps. And listen to this. He prepares us to win for Him. He prepares us to win for Him. Please, let's get it out of our conversation that He prepares us to win. He prepares us to win for Him. And we got it correct. There's separation. Hallowed be thy name means separate. In and through His name, we are separated from what? Sin, poverty, sickness, disease, death. Is that all right with y'all? So when we say, Hallowed be thy name, it's just like that name goes into action to grab us and pull us from all of those things we just mentioned. It's a good place to reside. It sets us apart. Hallowed be thy name. Set apart. Taking His name, living in His name, makes us different from the world. By the way, 90% of the church is the world. All right, I'll be gentle. 50%. And that's the best figure that you can find in the Bible. One will be taken, one will be left. And He's talking about His own. He's not talking about the world. Those that call themselves His own. Very cautious. Taking His name, living in His name, makes us different from the world. And those that are in the world, we are truly marked. If your friends, if your neighbors don't call you peculiar, something is wrong with you. Because the Bible proclaims you to be peculiar. And if somebody doesn't recognize that, you're not. If you can just go into the workplace and nobody recognizes you as being different, there's something wrong with you, not the workplace. Okay? Hallowed. Honored. His name gives us honor and brings Him honor. So it's not enough for you to have honor. Actually, it's worthless for you to have honor. But if the honor given to you doesn't bring God honor, it was wasted honor. Holy. Hallowed means holy. His holy name, if we live in it, makes us holy. Now, I've already put the responsibility on you to be righteous. Now I'm telling you, you've got to be holy. Holy means not double-minded. Hallowed means devoted. Now listen to this. In His name, He is devoted to those that are devoted to Him. He's devoted to those that are devoted to Him. Check into that hotel in the of reference where it says the tabernacle of meeting. Check into that tabernacle and He will be there. And everything that He is will be there. Living by faith means that you've got to stay in the safe place. Your flesh will take you out. You have control of your flesh. You must stay in who God is. Hallowed be His name. There's other names that are going to come. We just read that. There's other names that are going to fly your way. Are you checking into the other name hotel? Are you going to stay in the Hallowed be His name hotel? His word says when we're devoted to Him, He cannot leave or forsake us. He can't. Now listen, I'm going to tell you again. In this case, when we invoke the laws of God, like being devoted to Him, His word promises He cannot leave us or forsake us. Now, I said if we're devoted, you know where you're devoted or not. You know where you're devoted to your agenda or His. By the way, everybody that worships Satan is devoted. So the word standalone devoted doesn't mean anything. It means devoted to hallowed be His name. It's a sanctuary. Hallowed means sanctuary. Listen to this. As we use Him as our only sanctuary, we become His sanctuary. And we become that sanctuary for other people. I know this to be true. I know it to be true. If you haven't tried Him, you need to. You check into His sanctuary. He checks into you. And you become a sanctuary for other people. I had somebody call me today, or last couple of days, sometimes, fuzzy. And they wanted to blame me for some of the problems they're having. And it's not a good time. It will be, in Jesus' name, there's no problem. But he was wrong, totally wrong. You're not going to blame me for your problems. If the first time you blame me for your problems, you just checked into the Satan hotel. You became an accuser where he lives. If there's a problem, it's probably yours. No, just say it is yours and you'll deal with it. But I said, you know, isn't it amazing that I have as many problems as you do? And I don't call you up and say, please make my problems look better. But you do that to me. What right do you have to do that? See, I don't always want to play pastor. Sometimes I'd like to check into the Satan hotel and attack you like crazy. But I can't be checked into two places at one time. It doesn't work. But I am allowed to bring you some truth. And the truth is, you don't have the right to accuse me of anything. There's only one hotel I check into, and it ain't yours. And what right do you have, if you know that I have as many problems as you, for you to ask me to make yours look good? Please give me a word that makes me feel better. Hey, live for Jesus or go to hell. Now I gave you a word. You like that one? That sounds like a good evangelist, doesn't it? Oh, I don't like to be an evangelist. I don't want that to be the last word. By the way, I submitted to hallowed be His name, and I didn't leave it at that. I didn't leave it at that. Are my feet beautiful? You know what that means? If I say that, that means that I need to get back into the call. And I don't need to be expressing my opinions. I need to be expressing God's opinions. And if my call is to make your problems look different, so be it. Okay. The reason I want you to agree is because there's some calls on you too. So, hallowed be His name. Hallowed means a palace. One of the definitions is a palace. So I'm not checking in to the 6th motel, where if I want TV, I got to pay another buck or two or three or four. And if I want water running out of the faucet, I got to pay some more. This is an all-inclusive. If y'all travel, you know what that means. That means you don't have any other needs. There's a little note on the cabinet that says if you've got your toothbrush or your toothpaste or your razor or whatever, you just give us a call and we'll provide it. Oh, you didn't bring a blow dryer? It's okay, there's one on the wall. What motel's y'all been checking into? As far as I'm concerned, if there's not a blow dryer on the wall, it's no motel. If I got to pay for television, it's not a motel. If there's not a hot tub, it's not a motel. That's a wannabe. Come on. Hallowed be His name is a palace. He is a palace. And He is our palace. And when we check into the palace, we become a palace. Are you hearing me? We got to look like what we check into. Street person that checks into the Ritz-Carlton, that place, they're going to recognize it quickly. Who? Everybody that's already checked in. They're going to say, what's that smell? That's not a part of this place. What in the world you got on? That's not a part of this place. You hearing me? Christians are marked. They have a smell. Their palace has a smell. It's called the smell of God. It's called the aroma. If you smell like that water, you smell like that life, you smell like that perfume, you smell like that anointing, you look like it, you dress like Him, you talk like Him. Because what you hang around with, you will become. Where are you checked into? I'm in the palace. Sometimes there's some temptation to say, God, you sure this is the palace? And then you say, hallowed be Your name. And it becomes one. The temple. Hallowed means the temple. By the way, the temple is the only place that Jesus resides. All of a sudden it hit me. That's the only place. Do you know that Jesus has a lot of frequent flyer points? He only goes first class. He's paid the price. He's paid the cost. and he's got points. And if you don't qualify, he ain't checking in. He wants to live in a temple, a palace. How do we get there? Well, if you want to be a palace, you check into a palace. Hallowed be your name. And you begin to become the palace. Told you I had a good one, didn't I? Tabernacle. It means tabernacle. In him and he in us. What is in the tabernacle? What is in the temple? What is in the palace? Continuous praise. One of the things that's in the palace, the temple, the tabernacle, is continuous praise. Now, let me throw a little bit of conviction on you right quick. We don't have enough praise in this place. You don't have enough praise in you. You don't have enough praise in you. It doesn't come out enough. Why? Because you ain't checked in enough. Because I promise you, if you go around saying, "Hallowed be your name," you check into that, there's going to be some coming out of you. When? When you're under the most pressure. God becomes the prettiest when you're under the most pressure. If not, then you're in the wrong hotel. You become closest to God when you are under the most pressure, or you're checked into the wrong end. He becomes most desirable when you are under the most pressure. You're in the inn. You get hungry. You call for some room service, man. Hallowed be thy name, and here comes room service. You don't call McDonald's. It's the wrong inn. If McDonald's is in your hotel, you need to check out and get into Hallowed be thy name. Amen. Then it's sirloin, or whatever you think is your favorite food. It's that on the menu. When are you going to get it? When do you get hungry? Have you ever been in a hotel and had room service just show up and say it's time for you to eat? That's what we want God to do to us. We want him to come knock on our forehead and say, "Oh, it's time to eat again." He shows up when our desire is there. Hallowed means render or declare sacred, holy, consecrated. His name, Hallowed, literally causes us to be holy, pure, consecrated. Are you hearing me? That's who he is. He can't do anything but cause that. Praise God. What are you causing? Man, can I ask you something? When people get around you, what are you causing? And if you're not causing anything, you're a failure in God's eyes. He puts pressure on us to put pressure on others. God is a pressure God. How does he do that? His name. He doesn't have to do any work. His presence causes that. Who he is causes change, causes us to become pure. When we were in Louisiana, yeah. You know, I'm going, "God, surely we can do better than this." And my daughter walks in and she went to this a thing called Curves. It's an exercise group. She walks in and said, "Dad, would you go up to the hospital and visit this friend of mine? I think their baby may be dying." Hey, God, let's lighten up a little bit. I'm on vacation. I don't want to get in a life and death situation. What's the answer? You never were in one. You don't do anything anyway. You just show up when I tell you to show up. And I hesitated a minute. I said, "Oh, sure, let's go." Call those things that aren't as if they are. I acted like I was ready. We go up there, and the gal, I'm going to be a little harsh, and you listen to me. I hope you take it personally. Well, preaching is no good unless you take it personally. My daughter started talking to her, introduced us, and she began to use the right terms. Did you ever notice the minute you proclaim yourself to be a Christian, people start using different language? And she started, you know, "Praise the Lord, and I'm trusting," and not a lot, but a little, enough to catch it. The baby's laying over there, and the baby's just dying. The baby can't urinate, the baby can't eat. They don't know why, they can't find anything wrong. But let me tell you something, you stop peeing and you're dead meat. And you're dead pretty quick, especially when you're a little one. And I'm listening and I'm wondering, and God's beginning to tell me some things. And why did I tell you to take it personal? Well, just want to know where you're living. It's one thing to talk about God, it's another thing to check in and trust him. And that's basically what I thought. And finally I got just too much conversation. There's nothing that destroys God more than too much conversation. And I was as irritated as God was. And finally I said, "Let me ask you something." about the first word I could say, because I couldn't get a word in edgewise. It was two little women talking. Well, she was a talker. Not Desiree, the other gal. She just... Can I tell you a little secret in spiritual things? Anybody that talks 90 miles an hour, laughs 90 miles an hour, never can be still, they're not full of the Spirit of God. You need to worry about what they're full of. Because God is a God of peace. And a Christian can be quiet. They're perfectly calm with being quiet. And finally, I got a word in and I said, let me ask you something. I want to ask you something. I know you've been saying, praise the Lord, I trust God. But what if the doctor walks in here and says, that baby's going to die? Oh, this is a messenger of comfort, isn't he? It's like I'd hit her. I mean, seriously, she went, no. And then I'll have to pray. Well, why are you waiting till then? Come on, guys. Without God, we're dead. That's just the way it is. And if we don't learn to pray before then, hallowed be thy name. Just die and get out of the way and let the next good one come along. And I said, we don't want to talk about that either. What we want to talk about is let's pray now. And I began to say, quote some scripture to her. And I began to, what am I doing? I am taking her from where she is to where she should be, which is what the Word of God does. It scoops us up from the dung we've decided to set in and drags us up against the cleanest. And it can happen just like this. In His name changes, or hallowed be your name in His name, changes things fast. And she changed. And I said, now let's pray. When I saw the change, that sometimes you have to do that, scripturally, spiritually. You have to smack somebody to get their attention. It's a very, very good tactic that Jesus Himself uses. Woman, where's your accusers? That's the second one. The first one is, who hadn't sinned, cast the first stone. Whack! A little reality situation. The baby hadn't peed for days. They're very concerned. They can't put an IV in the baby. I don't know why. Doctors always use excuses. If I wanted an IV in that baby, I'd get one in there. An excuse is a way not to do what you're supposed to do. Yeah, they couldn't find a vein large enough to... That's right. That's exactly their reasoning. They couldn't find a vein large enough to put it in. So around his genitals, they have him sealed with a bag because they've got to find even a drop. And it's been there, I don't know how long, several days, and not one drop. That's bad for a baby. And we say, that will be no more. In Jesus' name, why do you say that? Because she wouldn't have understood, hallowed be your name! So you use whatever's acceptable at the moment. I knew what I was saying. That baby will pee. Well, that's strange. Pray for pee. Oh, no, if that's what's needed, that's what you pray for. And that baby will eat, and that baby will recover, and it'll be all right. Do you understand me? Do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus died for that very thing? And it's a mockery for you not to believe that. Hey, I got her quiet. Hammer. And then we prayed. And I said, hey, I got to go. I'm hungry. Let's go. Why? Well, because that was the truth. We picked up Robin. He had to be back at work shortly. I didn't figure God needed hours. We walk. We go with Rob. He eats a quick lunch and runs back to his company. And, of course, if my daughter knows where there's a Walmart, she's going there quick. Every day. I don't know why, but... So we got to go straight to Walmart. Guess who's at Walmart? The mom's at Walmart. Why? Because the baby peed. She said, you no more walked out of the room, and that baby filled the bag. And the doctor says, everything's fine. Minutes. Boy, wasn't I a blessing.
Praise the Lord.
Come on, that's the first thing our flesh wants to say. That's the first thing our flesh wants to say. Didn't I do a good job? Well, if I obeyed God in going, that is the good job that I did. Anything else, hallowed be His name. Let's keep the baby checked into the right hotel. Now, two that you're going to love, or one you're going to love, one is a requirement of you. One is charismatic and one is the holiness movement. Let's combine them because it's in the Word, hallowed. Do you know what expiation is? That's the word here. To purify by expiation, to free from the guilt of sin. Hallowed be thy name removes the sin by paying the price. That's what the expiation means. It paid the price. Number two, it frees you from the guilt. See, what you and I need to understand is Jesus dying on the cross wasn't enough. It may have covered the sin, but it did not free us from the guilt. Hallowed be your name frees us from the guilt. You got that? It means forgiveness, and it means the burden of guilt is off of you. Another word, it means to purify internally by reformation of soul. Now, hallowed be His name. I'm going to go back to what I've been trying to tell you. You can't be saved. You will not be allowed to be saved without change in your life. Because when you pray, as Jesus says to pray, hallowed be your name, first the sin is removed, second the guilt is removed, third the work begins to reform your soul. This is everything you are. If you were in the theological seminary, it said that reforms your mind, emotions, and will. That's what their definition of soul is. But I'm telling you, it reforms your spirit. It reforms your thought processes. It reforms your desire. It reforms your eyes and your ears and your tongue. It reforms your appetite. It reforms everything that you are when you begin to say, hallowed be your name. I want to be in that place. I want to live in that inn. Amen? Now, give me a little bit of leeway here. Hallowed actually means holy is your name. It means everything that I've told you, but one of the definitions means holy is your name. H-O-L-Y. I want to tell you that the N that you need to check in means W-H-O-L-L-Y. You need to get a mindset that holy means completely, entirely, nothing else left is your name. When you cry out to Him and you say, hallowed is your name, that means then you're bigger. You're bigger than the hurt. You're bigger than the worry. If I check into this, everything, holy is your name, means everything that I've ever thought that I needed, you're going to meet greater than that. The enemies that I didn't even know were formed against me are surrounded by you, holy, completely. The poverty that I didn't even realize was trying to overtake me, I'm delivered from. The car wreck that was the devil's plan to take my life, I'm delivered from. My steps are ordered. Not just yesterday, not today, but tomorrow. Hey, this is one of the greatest sermons you ever heard, so you need to get on the stick here. Holy is your name. Any pronouncement by any doctor, the name is greater than. It completely encapsulates and flushes down the devil's commode. I thought I had a thought a while ago, and I'm tempted to say it, but I'm not going to do it. You wouldn't understand what I was saying. Living in His name means we have no other needs. Holy is your name means there's no need that can even crop up and exist anymore. No worries. You have all power. You have all freedom. You have all forgiveness. You know what all forgiveness means, Gene? That means even those things you won't forgive you for are forgiven. And when you say hallowed or holy is your name, they're taken away. Not by you, but by a name that's bigger than Gene. Do you know there's a name bigger than you? Because that name can change you when you couldn't even change you. You understand that? Every one of us. There's a name that when we begin to pronounce the things, when Paul, in his immature stage of salvation, when he said, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I do. He was saying, help! He wasn't writing in there to tell you how bad he was. He was yelling to God by pen, hallowed be your name! And you won't find that anywhere else in his writings. In fact, you'll find an upward movement in his writings that brought him above that even that thought process. But he had to cry. I'm getting to the end here. Philippians 2, verse 9 again. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and us through him and given him the name which is above every name. And at that hallowed name, every knee should bow. The first one being mine. What am I bowing to? I'm bowing to everything that's hurting me, everything that's worrying me. I'm bowing out of that, checking in to hallowed be His name. Every knee should bow of those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Now, I'm going to back up just a little bit. I held off telling you this, but we agreed as a church we were going to pray on March the 3rd. This is the way it always is in the Word of God and the will of God. For those of you that participated, may you be blessed by the outcome. And for those of you who refuse to participate, may you be blessed by the outcome. On the 3rd, understand that March the 3rd does not begin on our March the 3rd. It begins hours ahead, depends on what part of the world you're in. And there was a worldwide call for prayer to begin on March the 3rd. The promise was that if you'll pray, God will remove the threat, but if you don't, there'll be tremendous amounts of bloodshed. That was the exact words. Okay. On March the 3rd, I began to pray how I should pray. That's the way Nehemiah did. God, how do you want me to pray? What do you want me to say? He said, I want you to say, hallowed be your name. That's all I want you to pray all day long. Hallowed be your name. With the idea of everything has to bow at that. Every threat, even the threat of terrorist bloodshed. He said, I don't need you to proclaim anything else. I happen to know everything else. You just proclaim, hallowed be your name. And I did that all day long. Now let me tell you what happened, for you that did not write it down. What happened is while you were praying, those of you were praying early in the morning, before the nighttime came, the second in command to Osama bin Laden was arrested in answer to prayer. Wasn't an accident. In his possession, they found bank records. They found tremendous amounts of phone records. They found records of what many terrorist acts had already been planned. There was much bloodshed that was absolutely removed in one move of God in answer to our prayer. Now, that's not all of it. In the process, because of that arrest, before 24 hours could go by, the CFO, the financial officer, they arrested him, which caused us to be able to seize tremendous amounts of money that we didn't know anything about. So we not only took their leader away by prayer, we took their money away by prayer. They're nearly back to zero. And now our president is going to move in and smack the head of one that's been spitting at God, has been slaughtering his own people, has been financing terrorism. Yes, sir. Yeah, and I'm waiting for the confirmation, but that was within another 8 hours or so. And by the way, my son went home on the Thursday night to be with his family. His beeper went off, and in 2 hours, didn't I say that? I'm sorry, Wednesday night. Now, which is what date, by the way? The 5th. If you'd have been watching the news closely, you would have understood that by the 4th, all of this information was revealed. What information? The information of the location of Osama bin Laden and his sons. Not the second in command. That arrest went down fast. But the information came about where they were. And by the evening of the 5th, a dark unit, a special ops unit that only does things in secret, never does things in large groups, comes in, swoops, and takes them out, was called up and is on their way. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? God is not slow to act. God is quick to act. He doesn't put people in harm's way. He uses people when they're ready to win. You hear me? And I hope that I get at least one ear from one of the head guys. Now, I was raised in the Vietnam era, and that was a normal thing. When you killed an enemy, you cut the ear and you put it around your neck. So please forgive me, war is hell. But if you want to see an enemy run, put some ears around your neck. And they're not white. You think I'm kidding? That was a normal way in Vietnam. They strung ears around their neck during war because they wanted to show the enemy, here's what I'll do to you. Why did David hold the head? Why did David hold the head of Goliath up and walk around in the cities and bragging? Because he said, this is what my God will do to you. Oh, that's gross. Get over it. It's life. It's war. Did you ever see anybody die? If you haven't, you need to. You need to. It's really the only life and death situation you'll ever be in. And you'll have to determine, after a number of people dying in front of you, where this is a good thing or a bad thing. And it'll cause you to depend on God more, not less. That's a sidetrack. I want to tell you that God listened and stopped many disasters because of your prayer. Now let me end. Our existence, our life, our residence needs to be in God's inn, the hallowed inn, or we are lost without hope. Well, let me tell you something you're not going to like. This is not easy. It takes tremendous effort. I can tell you a while ago, I was not going to make this message. It was not going to happen. I was through for the day. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but when I stepped up there, I was not going to make this message. And I began to praise God. And I began to say, "Hallowed is your name." And I didn't do that so that I could lose my thought processes except God and God alone. If you will praise Him in a time of pressure, if you will honor Him and proclaim who He is in a time of pressure, your pressure will go away. And if you don't, you're lost without hope. Here's the good part. Whatever you think that He's going to do, when you cry out to Him, His plan is far beyond anything that you can plan. That's the part that you're going to have to trust Him in. Because what He does probably won't look like what you want Him to do. But it's going to be far beyond what your plan is. So it can't look like what you're planning. Christians, let me say it to you again. However you expect God to do it, and whatever you expect Him to do, He's not going to do it that way because it's going to be so far beyond you couldn't think of it. So what is our... What? You telling me you don't even know how to pray, right? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. You don't know what to pray for because His mind is far beyond. His thoughts are far above. Amen? So how do we take care of it? Hallowed be your name! And it's taken care of. It sets your mind straight. It reminds God of who He is in your opinion, and that's all that counts. There's only one relationship you need to worry about. His. Yours and His. Rest of them will fall in place. If we check in to the Hallowed Inn. So y'all can tell everybody what did Stan preach about, the Hallowed Inn. And you got a lot of explaining to do. Praise the Lord. Y'all stand with me. I didn't preach to you this morning fiction. I didn't even talk to you about Christian fiction, if there's any such thing. I talked to you about truth. The Bible promised me and you one thing. When I speak the truth, it'll set you free. When you believe the truth, it will set you free. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallowed be your name. The rest of that is thy kingdom come and thy will be done in this pile of earth as it is in heaven. Lord, you know what I have need of. Give me this day what I have need of. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. And God, you know the tempter's out there busy. So lead me away from temptation. Deliver me from the hand of the evil one. And I'll say this the rest of my life, Lord. Thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory. And this is where I'm going to reside and live in forever. Thy kingdom, thy glory, thy honor, forever and forever. Hallelujah. And we do it, we say these things, we believe these things for one reason only. It's for your honor and for your glory. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Hallelujah. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. I challenge you. I challenge you in Jesus' name to begin to quote that. Hallowed be thy name. In everything that you say, in everything that you do, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day. Hallowed be your name with the thought process that it's holy, all inclusive, this hotel, all provision. All safety and all peace. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. All hearts clear? Or have I just left you with a whole lot of things you need to clear up? Jerry and the grandson and all of these sicknesses and all of these worries. Hallowed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' name, the name that takes dominion over every foul and evil report. We trust you, Lord. We believe, Jesus, that you died for these things. We're not taking any other report. I want to see them healed for your honor and for your glory. I want to hear the good report. I want the enemy's ears around our neck. And every one of these things that's presented to us that we can fail in or we can die in, I want them hung around our neck as signs, as banners of the Lord, saying that the Lord is our protector and our healer. He fights for us and He wins for us in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm tired of hearing about Jerry's complaints. Deliver him for nothing else except that I don't want to hear anymore. It may be a little selfish, Lord, but I promise to give you the glory. And I promise to give you the honor. And when she won't, we will. The same thing about the grandson. Forgive me, Lord, for not being exactly normal. It's okay. You said so. But I don't want to hear about sickness and disease anymore. I want to hear about your glory. I want to hear about your victory and your success, Lord. Do it. Do it in our presence. Do it for those we lay hands on. Do it for your honor and for your glory. Heal. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord, while I'm complaining about hearing for other people's complaints, forgive me for me complaining. Touch me in that area where I learn to give you praise continually. And I don't complain. And I don't fuss and I don't get cranky. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we will expect to hear a good report. Hallelujah. And God, if there's any resistance in these people to give you all praise and all honor, squeeze it out of them. Do whatever it takes to make them give you honor and glory, and not the doctors and not the pills and not to anything else, but hallowed be your name. Praise you, Lord. Do what it takes to bring honor and glory to you. Show yourself strong in us. Show yourself strong in your kingdom. Show yourself strong in this earth. Lord, there is a challenge facing you. And that is, there's a lying false God. People proclaim to be all powerful. God, for your people and for your kingdom and for your will and for your honor. Show yourself strong in the next few days. Do what you did 12 years ago, only faster. Literally destroy in the front of millions of witnesses. Destroy the face of the enemy. I don't care if you do it like he's a cockroach. I don't care if you do it through a trial. But God, show yourself strong in this. And the same thing with North Korea. That foolish tyrant that spits in the face, serving a false idol, spits in the face of God. Crush them, Lord. Crush them, Lord. And reward those that are standing against you properly. And reward those that are standing for you properly. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be his name. Look up at me just for a second. I want to remind you of something. As I got a chance to watch a lot of news, and it's interesting when there's continuous news coming. Turkey first said, you can use our country. They quickly changed their minds and says, no, you can't. The news report said, it's because their Congress has become a majority of Islamic, so their vote came across. Night went by, the next day came, and they nearly, one day, one 12-hour period, they nearly imploded. Their stock market fell to the bottom. The value of their dollar went to nothing. And they were beginning to wonder if they were even going to make it 24 hours without filing bankruptcy in the world. God is not slow. For those of you that have been convinced that God is slow, that's a lie. God is more interested in righteous things than you are. Amen? So He's quicker. Don't give up on your healing. Don't give up on your provisions. Don't give up, because when you give up, God gives up on you. I'm sorry. You negate the Word of God when you give up. You just need to learn to cry until you're hoarse. Hallowed be your name. Don't take any other report. There's no other name that's hallowed. Only His. Amen? If you are not fired up to go to war, there's something wrong with you, and I'd like to lay hands on you and either kill you or revive you in Jesus' name. There's an enemy out there. He needs to be defeated. He needs to be defeated in your life, and then he needs to be defeated in someone else's life. And if you do that, we're going to scare him. He'll take his own ears off and hand them to you. His name is what? Dwayne. Needs to be Dwayne. If he's a heathen, he's Dwayne. If he's a Christian, he's Dwayne. Amen? God, that's what we pray right now. That you take him from Dwayne and you make him Dwayne, mighty man of God. God, because he asked and because we're responding in faith, this day let her hear a good report. Maybe it scared him to death. Maybe he bawled. Maybe he saw the hugest angel in the world. We don't care how you do it, Lord. But cause him to fear the one God, the only God. Cause him to fear, then turn it to respect. In Jesus' name, give him life. Give him that more abundantly. Deliver him from death. Hallowed be your name in Dwayne. Praise you, Lord. And all of those that people are, their names are coming up right now, sons and daughters and friends and relatives and enemies, hallowed be your name. We ask you to deliver them. We ask you, Lord, that all those people that we've ministered to and touched in the past, where they've run in fear, restore them back in this body. Hallowed be your name. In power and might and glory for you. Praise be to God. Praise be to the only true God. We are so blessed, Lord. We are so blessed to know the true God. Once again, praise you, Lord. Let me remind you of something. You are extremely blessed.
You could have been born in Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, where you were introduced to a false god. And you felt all of your life you were serving a true god. And you find out one day that somebody whipped your true god. You are extremely blessed to be introduced to the one true god, to serve the only true god. Honor him by thanking him today that you know him. Thank him that you know him. Not that he knows you, but that you know him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. What a day to be alive, and what a day to go to war, and what a day to win. It's not just a beautiful day outside, it's a beautiful day inside. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Once again, we are changed in your name. We say that from yesterday, today, and forever because we serve that yesterday, today, and forever God. Our enemies are defeated. Our flesh mind is defeated, replaced by the mind of Christ. We're mighty men and women of faith. When the enemy comes, we destroy the enemy. Make God proud. And he says, now there's a bride. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We call those things that aren't as if they already are, according to your word, so they already are. It's done. It's finished. We claim, as Jesus taught us how to pray, hallowed be your name. Now he speak. It is finished. Everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Give him another praise and let's go.